Today on Life Talk.
I read a Barna survey. He surveyed 1,800 professing Christians, and he asked them what they believed about the devil. 4 out of 10, that's 40%, 40% strongly, didn't just agree, but strongly agreed that Satan is not a living being, but only a symbol of evil.
You are listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious who are filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. Today's message is just for you. You can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Let's go ahead and get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Life Talk.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Life Talk. Today, we're going to talk about the high importance of finishing well. And no, I'm not talking about finishing a project well or a school paper or a new paint job on the house. I'm talking about finishing life well, our journey on planet Earth. I'm talking about what Paul the Apostle was talking about when he said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race, and I have kept the faith." Many people begin the Christian journey strong, but they don't finish strong. God wants all of us to finish with a flourish. So let's jump right in today to the message, Finish Well.
It's easy to get involved in a bad fight, but there's a good fight too. We're going to look at what a good fight is today, because there is a good fight. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Now, this is at the end of Paul's life. Not only is it his last letter, it's the last chapter of his last letter. Now, the original writing was not in chapters, but it's the end of his letter, which was on a long scroll. There were no chapters, there were no verses, it was just a long read. And it was a letter, not really a book, it's a letter. This is one of the last things the great apostle Paul wrote. He's summing up his life in one verse. So let's read it. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." How many of you want to say that at the end of your life? How many of you want to be able to say that? That ought to be what all of us are able to say at the end of our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, it's living, it's pulsating with life. And Lord, as we come to it, we pray that you will open this verse to us, these final great words from the great apostle, that Lord, it'll change us, rearrange us, recalibrate us, that it'll get us, Lord, on the right track. Lord, sharpen our focus today, sharpen our aim, sharpen our goal setting. And I thank you, Lord, for helping us to move forward in the things of God. In Jesus' name, would you breathe a prayer and just say, "Lord, change my life today. With this word, change my life. In Jesus' name. Amen." Well, shout out to your neighbor and say, "This is going to be good. It was worth coming to church today." Amen. Now, I think Paul the Apostle was the greatest Christian to ever live. I've said that many times, and I'm not trying to compare him to the other apostles or anything. It's just nobody exemplified the highest level of Christian life like the Apostle Paul. And that's just my humble opinion. I love Peter, love James, love John, love them all, but Paul knocked it way out of the park in his Christian commitment, his fire, his zeal, his sacrifice, his love of people, love of the church, love of the Lord. He was used of God to write 2/3 of the New Testament. And it's amazing to think that he was once a killer of Christians and a persecutor of the church like none other. As bad as he was as a persecutor, he was that good as a sold-out believer once he was saved. Amen? Now, again, Paul is summing up his life. He knows he's about to be martyred. He's not about to be set free or die of old age. He knows he's about to be martyred. He knows he's about to lose his head for his testimony of Jesus Christ. And he says, "I'm looking at my life. I'm summing it up. I'm an older man now. I've lived for Jesus all these years. Let me give you an autobiographical sketch in one verse of my life. I had a fight to win. I had a race to finish. I had a faith to keep. And I succeeded in all three. That's my life in a nutshell. What a great statement about your life. Now, I want you to notice that he places the before every one of the three things he mentions. The good fight, the race, the faith. It wasn't just any fight. It wasn't just any race. It wasn't just any faith. It was the fight, the race, the faith. When he put the in front of those three, he was saying, these three things are higher. They are in their own stratosphere. They stand alone, far away and above any other fight or race or faith. They are exclusively the fight, the race, the faith. There's nothing like them. Placing the word the in front of each of them is to say there was no other fight or race or faith more supreme, more important than they were. And folks, that stands true for you and me. It is the fight that we're in. It is the race that we're running. It is the faith that we are keeping. Amen? Now, Jude similarly exhorted all Christians. He said, we are to earnestly contend for the faith. Not just any faith. There's a lot of faiths out there, but there is only one the faith. And the faith is the Christian faith. There's a lot of belief systems out there, but there's only one belief system that is worth following. That is the belief system that comes from the faith. Every professing Christian on earth should have the same three goals. I should have it. You should have it. That's why I'm speaking on it today. We should all have the same three goals: to fight the good fight, not to stay on the sidelines, but to fight the good fight, to finish the Christian race. And I'm going to tell you what that means in a little bit, and to keep the faith. Everybody say the faith. So let's unpack these things one at a time. And let me just minister to you out of this verse. He said, first, I have fought the good fight. Now notice he didn't say, I have lived an easy life. He didn't say that, did he? He said, I fought a good fight. Looking back over his Christian life, it had not been an easy life. It had been a fight. He didn't say, I've lived an easy life. He didn't say, I've lived the good life. He didn't say, I've lived my best life now. Oh, no. He said, I have fought. My life has been a battle. Now, let's don't look at that negatively, because he's not saying it was a big bummer. I really hate the way my life turned out, because it was just nothing but a fight. You know, some people live their lives out. Some marriages live their marriages out fighting all the time. Some people live their lives out fighting fights that really aren't worth the fighting. But Paul's not saying my life was a drag because all it was a fight. He's saying I victoriously fought the good fight. I spent my life on what it was worth spending on. You know, your life is like a dollar bill. I could give you a dollar bill right now, and you could go and spend it, but you're only going to spend it once. You're never going to get it again. I could give you a dollar bill and say, here you go, from me to you, and I gave you a dollar. You could walk out, and you can spend it any way you want, but you can only spend it once. It's the same thing with your life. God gives you a life, and you can spend it any way you want. He gave you and me a will. We can spend it fighting bad fights. We can spend it living for bad causes. We can live for ourselves. We can live for selfish motives. We can live our life all wrong. You can waste the life that God gave you, or you can spend it wisely. Paul said, I spent my life on Jesus, and I fought the good fight. It was a good fight because it was his fight. Amen? We're all in the army of the Lord. We sang a song a little while ago. He said, there's an army rising up. And I believe that there is an army rising up. Never count the church out. Even though we haven't been able to meet, even though we have been secluded and taken out of our building, listen, when you try to put the church down, the Holy Ghost of God is in that church, and you can't keep the Holy Ghost down. You can't keep Jesus down. You can't keep resurrection power down. You can't keep the power of God down. No, when the power of God lives in you, and he does, then God is always a God of resurrection. It may look like the church is out of commission for a while, but the church will rise again because the resurrected Savior lives in us, and because of that, we will rise up again. So Paul's assessment of his life, he said it was a fight, but it was a good fight. Now, the word that he uses, he said, I have fought. That comes from the Greek word agonizomai. Now, we hear a word in there, don't we? Agony. He said, I have agonized in this fight. It's where we get the word agony, or to agonize. And it pictures an athlete contending for a prize. Struggling, straining, striving, stretching, sweating, exerting himself. That's the idea behind the word fought. I have stretched, exerted myself, sweated, pushed, strained, fought, struggled, wrestled. I have given it everything that I've got. Folks, listen, the Christian life is not a life of ease. The Christian life is a life of battle, but it's a good battle. Amen? Because in the middle of the battle, we have the peace of the living God. We have peace with God. But he says, I have fought, I have agonized, I have strained, I have struggled. You ever feel that way? When we got saved, we were turned the other direction from the world. The world's going this way, we're going this way. The world is going downstream, further and further down into sin. We're swimming upstream, reaching up for God. And it's a struggle every day. But I want you to say with me, it's a good struggle. It's a fight. Now, in the Greek language, Paul uses what is called the perfect tense with the words, I have fought. Now, what does the perfect tense mean? It means that his struggle against the devil and sin had been courageously sustained in the past and was now being bravely sustained all the way to the end. The perfect tense tells us that he was a fighter way back when. He was a fighter all of his life. And he's a fighter now. It's telling us that he never let up in his battle. He never let up. He never put up the white flag. He never walked away. He never gave it up. He never said, Lord, I've had all this fun. I can stand. I'm going back to the synagogue. He never said that. But his battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil was sustained by the grace of God his entire life. He was a lifelong warrior that never put up the white flag, never walked away, never said, I quit. He fought when he was young. He fought when he was middle-aged. And he fought the devil when he was old. He fought the devil all the way to the day they took his head and sent him to heaven.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear. And that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Paul's Christian journey had not been easy, but by God's grace, he fought the battle to the end. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, many toils, through many troubles, I have already come. And grace has brought me thus far, and grace will lead me home. Grace saved us. Grace keeps us. Grace sustains us. Grace picks us up when we fall. Grace never lets us go. It's by grace I was saved through faith. It's by grace I fight the fight that I fight. It's by grace I crucify my flesh. It's by grace I live for God. It's by grace, amazing grace, powerful grace, sustaining grace, that we're going to make it all the way to the end. Come on, church. He says the battle was a good fight. There's lots of fights and battles in this world, as I've already said. But he said, mine was a good fight because it was the Lord's battle. Now, when he used the word fight, what does that mean? Because some people read that and they go, well, he was a fighter. What does that mean? If you don't know your Bible at all, you wonder what he meant by that. Well, what he did not mean is to get physical with people, to beat people up till they get right with God. No, no, no. That's what some other religions do. That's what some other belief systems do. You're going to do what I say, and if you don't, I'm going to coerce you to do it. Christianity is not about that at all. That is not the good fight. The good fight is, let me just give you a few things that comprise the good fight. The good fight is the battle against sin. Hebrews compares our sufferings to what Jesus suffered and says this, in your struggle against sin, talking to believers, in your struggle against what? Against sin. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood like he did. Now, notice he says, Christians are those who struggle against sin. How many of you struggled against sin this week? Now, some of you are struggling right now because you're lying in church. See, I know you struggled against sin this week if you're a believer, because every day we struggle against sin. The world, the flesh, and the devil, they come at us from every side. Those are our three great enemies, the pull of the world, the pull of the flesh, the lies of the devil. We battle it every day. We struggle against sin. Rather than doing what our sinful flesh wants us to do, we obey the word of God that says, do not let sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. That's where the Christian stands. We have a battle against sin. So that's part of our fight. Another part of our fight is against persecution or enduring persecution. The Bible makes us a promise that I don't like claiming, but it's there anyway. And it is, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be, not maybe, not perhaps so, not maybe so, but will be persecuted. If you're taking a stand for Christ in this wicked, and this, folks, we are in a wicked world. We are in a world that is more wicked than anything I've ever lived in my life. We are living in a sin-cursed, devil-infested, sin-infected, dark, blind, rebellious, blasphemous culture. And if you stand for Christ in this culture, you ain't going to be popular. No, no, no. People aren't going to like it if you stand for the light. Now, you can stand in an elevator going up full of people and say, Buddha. And they say, cool. Or you can say, well, praise Muhammad. Oh, great. That's wonderful. But if you say Jesus in a crowded elevator, not in a cursing way, but in an affectionate way, like praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You will have people hitting the buttons on that elevator get off quicker than they were going to in the first place. Because as soon as you say Jesus, the light shines. As soon as you say Jesus, something happens inside of them. Because the name of Jesus is like a spotlight turned on in the dark. And it chases darkness. It reveals demons. It reveals motives. People don't like to hear it. And the Bible says, Jesus told us, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. So enduring persecution, ostracism, the scowls and laughs and jokes of people. They know not what they do. Enduring nobody sitting with you at the lunch table at work. Enduring maybe a spouse making fun of you coming to church. Enduring losing some friendships you had in the past because they can't take your walk with the Lord anymore. Let them go. They weren't friends in the first place if they walk out on you because you love Jesus. Let them go. Everybody say, let them go. Sometimes something really good is waiting for you to let go of something really bad. Sometimes receiving something great from God is hinging upon you letting go of something God didn't give you in the first place. But we're going to be persecuted, and that's part of the good fight. That's part of the good fight. That's okay. That's part of the good fight. Paul said, I have been made the offscouring of the whole earth. We are like trash to most people. He said, that's okay, because I live for an audience of one. I don't live for the opinion of other people. They'll slap you on the back one day and stab you in the back the next. The opinion of people fluctuates like the wind. No, no, no. I want to know that I'm walking in a way that I've got the smile of God. I want his face shining on me. So let them persecute me. That's all right. Now, another part of the fight, the good fight, is combat with the devil. Combat with the devil himself is part of the good fight. Combat with the devil. not just fighting against sin, not just enduring persecution, but the good fight includes battling Satan. You know, I was amazed to read. I read a Barna survey, and Barna surveys the church all the time, does polls of the church. He surveyed 1,800 believers, and I want you to listen to this. He surveyed 1,800 professing Christians, and he asked them what they believed about the devil. 4 out of 10, that's 40%. If we put this room in half, pretty much, and we have this half and this half, 40% strongly, didn't just agree, but strongly agreed that Satan is not a living being, but only a symbol of evil. 40% of believers strongly agreed with the statement, Satan is only a symbol of evil. He's not a real person. He's not a real being. He's just a symbol, like some myth or something in ancient literature. But he's not really a real being. And I read that and I said, that's shocking. Because what Bible are they reading? They're not reading my Bible. What Jesus are they reading about? They're not reading about the Jesus I read about. The Bible couldn't be more clear that we are battling a real person, a being of high intelligence and power, and who has fallen. Listen to what the Bible says, Ephesians 6, but I'm reading it out of the Living Bible. Listen to this. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand safe against all the strategies and tricks of Satan. Not tricks of a myth or a symbol of evil, but tricks of Satan. For we are not fighting against, listen to what he says, verse 12. We are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies. Persons without bodies. Personalities that are real, that don't have physical bodies, but they are persons. The evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits, that would be the demons in the spirit world. Part of the good fight is we're in hand-to-hand combat with beings without bodies that operate in the spirit world. A lot of times what we think we're fighting a human being, we're not really fighting a human being at all, but we're fighting somebody who has been induced by the enemy to bring conflict into our life. He said, you're not battling flesh and blood. Now, this was the apostle who was always beaten up for the cause of Christ, whose Jesus was blasphemed to his face, who was thrown in jail for doing right and not wrong, who had his back laid open 5 different times, by 40 lashes, save 139. That's 195 lashes laid across his bare back, turned his back into hamburger meat. If you had looked at the Apostle Paul's back in his old age, you would have had to have turned away. It looked like a roadmap of scars. And he said, flesh and blood was not my enemy. No, my enemy is unseen. My enemy is real. My enemy is a personage, a spiritual personage that is attacking me through people. We note that Jesus sure wasn't dealing with symbols of evil when demons came screaming out of people at his command. He wasn't battling a symbol of evil when he battled the devil in the wilderness and the devil tempted him over and over again to try to cause him to forfeit who he was in God. He wasn't fighting with a symbol of evil. It says Satan left him until an opportune time, a real person. When Jesus told us to pray the Lord's Prayer, he didn't say, here's what he did say, as a matter of fact. He said, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. So part of our fight, the good fight, is the fight with the devil. And I got good news for you. We win and he loses, because inside of us is the winner. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have the greatest victor of all time living inside of you. He doesn't give up, he doesn't quit, and he does not lose.
We appreciate you listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear the message and to be inspired to put the teaching into practice. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online at our website to lifetalkradio.us. And be sure to save the web address in your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? It would really mean a lot to us. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a LifeTalk partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or online at lifetalkradio.us. 877-884-3111 or lifetalkradio.us. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to LifeTalk.